Good morning. I would invite you this morning to open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This past week, I got to see a lot of family and hang out with them, and it was a lot of fun to get to sit down and see everybody. Think about those celebrations and times that we get to have. This week we have a lot of birthdays. Jaden Glenn celebrates a birthday on Tuesday. How old? 15. Addison has a birthday on Wednesday. She'll be 17. Lauren, I won't make you give us your age, but you have a birthday on Thursday, and so make sure you wish her a happy birthday for Thursday. And then Roberta Drake has a birthday on Friday. So we've got a lot of birthdays that we get to celebrate this week. I think about the thankfulness that we have and being able to think about our thanksgivings this past week. Notice in verse number 18 here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul writes and says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." You know, he's finished this out in talking about what we are to pursue, that we rejoice always, the fact that we pray without ceasing, and then we give thanks. The way that we are to see this is to be a lifestyle and not a one-time-a-year thing. And I realize that Thanksgiving is not a one-time-a-year thing. Yes, we have a holiday to be able to celebrate that and be able to talk about it and talk about the things that we are thankful for. I reminisce and think back to my grandparents, specifically my mom's side of the family. When we would get together for Thanksgiving, my grandpa would always make us go around the table and say what we were thankful for. And one particular year, I had a cousin who was in a bad mood for some reason. He said, "I'm thankful when the Thanksgiving stuff is over so I can eat." And that didn't go over well with my grandfather, as you can expect. And he asked him to follow him into the next room, and he told him, "You're going to sit in here and think about what it is to be thankful, and not just for today, but for every day." And he tried to instill in us a lifestyle of gratitude, a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Well, this is the reason. It's because this is what Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica. You need to have a lifestyle of thanksgiving, not a one-time thing. In fact, where he says here in the beginning, "In everything give thanks," this is a command, but it's something that we see in the Greek is that perfect tense. This is continuous action. It's that continual giving of thanks, not a one-time thing, as we come to at times, I think, just celebrate it once a year. We should be those thankful people every single day. That perfect tense. This is something that comes from within. If you look at Ephesians chapter 5, notice there in verse number 20. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 20. And you think about this lifestyle, something that comes from within. It says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. But we give thanks. We speak to one another there in verse 19. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. And we give thanks. We give thanks to God for everything that we have in the name of our Lord Jesus. Again, that giving of thanks is a command. It's something that comes from within, something that we long to do. You know, I think about those men that I know that they get up and they speak eloquently, or they pray eloquently. Those prayers that they pray, the things that they speak and the things that they say, I appreciate those who do so, but I appreciate all my brothers and sisters in watching them as they live it, as they demonstrate it, as they show it in their life, that lifestyle of thanksgiving. And you think about even in the good times and the bad. If you look with me at Job chapter 1, and you think about in the good times and in the bad, the book of Job starts off in a very catastrophic way, with Job losing everything that he had worked hard for, everything that he had, including building of a family, and lose his kids, lose his possessions, all that he has. And yet, in verse 20 there of Job chapter 1, Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Notice in verse 22, in all of this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. That's what thanksgiving is. That's that lifestyle of thanksgiving. That even if everything was to be taken away, we would still be thankful to God for all that we do have. We would still worship. And I think about Job in that action of worship, to fall down and worship God. We think about that command in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, "In everything give thanks, in the good times and in the bad, when it's easy and when it's difficult." You see, when we have a lifestyle of thanksgiving, then it's something that should come naturally, that always we are looking to God, always we are praying to God. And I can think of several in my lifetime that I've known of Christians who have had difficult times and lost loved ones, that those that have lost everything that they have, and yet they persevered and they pushed through and they continued to thank God in their life. Again, following that command. He didn't say when it's easy. He just said in everything. So when it's easy and when it's hard, we give thanks. Not only that, but notice there, if you go back to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we give thanks and we do so to God. He is the center of our giving of thanks. It's centered around Him. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Beginning there in verse number 10, Paul writes, "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Thanks be to God. You notice there's a partnership that comes. Back up to verse 10 again. "Now, may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food." Did he just automatically give the bread? What came first? He had to sow the seed, right? He gave us that seed to sow so that we would be able to see the increase that comes. When you think about this in a spiritual manner, in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 6 there, Paul says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." That's that relationship, that partnership that we have with God, even in the physical things that we have, which is the context here of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning there about verse 6, you see that God loves a cheerful giver, and that we are going to reap as we have sown. And you think about the one who gives that seed, God, the supplier of all that we have, of all that we see. We give thanks for it. He gives us reasons to abound in that thanksgiving, to have that overflowing of reasons and causes to give that thanksgiving to God, always keeping Him at that center, that focus of our thanksgiving. And notice that because of that center of focus of thanksgiving, the things that we see that we abound in, those reasons and causes for thanksgiving, we're not the only ones who get to reap those benefits, but those around us get to see the same thing. Paul would write here, those that they have given to, sharing them in verse 13. Even that prayer that they have of thanksgiving for those who have shared. They look for those reasons again to thank God. They give those reasons and look for those reasons to thank Him for everything that He gives, all that He does. Paul would write, if you go to Colossians chapter 1, these same sort of sentiments of thanksgiving in all that we do, in all that we see. Here in Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 9, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, and for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." You see how we thank God for one another? We think about God being the center. He's the foundation of our faith. He is the reason that we are all gathered here today. When we think about being centered on Him and Him being the center of that thanksgiving, how often do we tell God, "Thank you for our brethren"? How often do we think about our brethren and give thanks that they are in our lives, and that because of that like precious faith that even Riston prayed about this morning, that common faith that we get to have? How precious and valuable is that? How much do we thank God that without it, we realize that in all likelihood, a good chance that perhaps we don't all know one another. I understand you're born into a family, you get to know one another. But when you think about those people outside of our own families that we get to know, because of what God has done and allowed us to be conveyed, He's transferred us from the darkness of the world into the Son of His love. When we think about being transferred into that kingdom, it's what God has done for us, put in place for us, initiating the church, installing the church to where we could all be a part of it. And we think about how great it is to have God at the center of that, that without Him, perhaps the relationships that we enjoy today, some of our closest and dearest, might not be if we didn't have Him to institute the church and establish it. How incredible it is to be able to give thanks to God for those of like precious faith, for our brethren. And it's because God is the center and that foundation on which we all stand. The center of our relationships and who we get to be a part of in each other's lives. We think about those characteristics then of Christians. If God is at the center, we have that command to give. Think about these characteristics that we then get to demonstrate. Look with me at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm sorry, chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning there in verse 1. 1 Timothy 2, beginning in verse 1. "Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." So not even just the people that we come into contact with as our brethren, but we give thanks for all men. And notice here, beginning in verse 2, he says, "For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." You understand, if that's our Christian character, to be those that stand up for God in everything, including even when it's difficult at times with those that are in charge. We think about the fact that you and I, right now, this morning, get to meet right here without the fear of somebody coming in and telling us that we can't, somebody coming in to even threaten to take our lives, everything that we have. We live in a great place, and we ought to be thanking God for that. And I realize we want the godliness of our country to be better, to be stronger. We can make a difference in that by demonstrating and showing those godly characteristics to everyone around us, that they may see God living in us, And you think about those that we pray for and those that we try to encourage, those that we even try to have that impact on their life for godliness, to help them see and understand. These are reasons for us to be thankful to God, to thank Him for all the things that we see and even where we get to live. And notice here, it's because God in verse 4 wants everyone to have that knowledge of Him. He wants all men to be saved, no one to be left out. This is a characteristic we get to show every day. This is something that we can help people see and understand that God wants the absolute best for them. And it's a reason for us to give thanks every day that we have those opportunities to show Christ living in our lives. If you look with me at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Again, we see those characteristics of Christians that we are to demonstrate in our life. In verse number 7 here, 1 John 1, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Another reason to give thanks is that He has set that example for us to live and to demonstrate that example to those around us. He has given us that example to follow after. He Himself there, the New American Standard says in verse number 7, is in the light. Meaning that God is truly, and as Christ is that example for us, that's the light that we follow in. He Himself is in the light, and His blood continues to cleanse us from all sin. Reasons again to be thankful to God, but to also demonstrate those Christian characteristics that God would have us to show. If you would go back to Colossians, this time to chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. When we think about those characteristics of a Christian that we demonstrate and we show to others. Here in Colossians 2, beginning in verse 5, Paul writes and says, "For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Much greater things could we give thanks for than to be able to walk in the steps of Christ. We sing the song, trying to walk in the steps of the Savior. And we follow after Him, walking in the light. As we demonstrate these godly characteristics every day, Paul says, I rejoice, to see your good order, the steadfastness of your faith in Christ, that you're rooted and built up, established in the faith, meaning that your faith is firm and you know where you stand, you know who your faith is in, that it's in Christ and you abound in it with thanksgiving. Every day you get up, God-centered, giving of thanks, that's a lifestyle that you have committed to show. It comes from within. The desire that we have is to demonstrate and show that thanksgiving, to be a child of God and to show just how thankful we are. If you look with me at chapter 3 here of Colossians, beginning in verse number 15, because of that thanksgiving that we have in following in the steps of Christ, here's the results that take place. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 15, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Notice in word or deed, we give thanks. That our life demonstrates it. Again, these are these characteristics that we show. And the thing that we find, and the results of all of this as we give thanks to God, is that we help show that to others because we know what He has done in our lives and we know and understand the type of impact that Christ truly has had on our lives. It helps us to understand that regardless of what goes on, as we've discussed and talked about even with Job, if you'll look with me at Luke chapter 17, I want you to see here the results of that rooted and grounded in Him and having our faith in Christ Jesus being rooted and grounded in Him, helping that to see and be seen. We have examples like this in Luke chapter 17. Begin there in verse number 11. Now it happened as He went to Jerusalem that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met Him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when He saw them, He said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at His feet, giving Him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Notice what he did. As he walked with his fellow lepers, here come 10 men. They've cried out, not unclean, unclean. "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Jesus does exactly that. He has mercy on them. "Go and show yourself to the priest." Jesus, as He sends them to the priest, one of them pays attention. As he walks and follows the commandments of Jesus, those spots of leprosy are disappearing. That he is being cleansed. That he is being healed. And he is whole once more. He stops before he ever finishes out going to the priest. He stops and he turns and he comes running back to Jesus. You know what the scripture doesn't say? His leprosy all came back because he went the other way. He came to Jesus and he fell down and with a loud voice glorified Him, worshiped Him, praised Him, gave thanks to Him. You know, when we think about our walk in the light, and walking with Him, and His blood cleanses us from all sin. We walk and we are cleansed. We are made whole because of the blood of Jesus. Not because of anything we have done, but because of who He is and what He has done on our behalf. We walk following Him and continue to be cleansed. How many times do we look down and give thanks? Give thanks that those sins that I have committed are no longer held to my account. Those sins that I have committed in my walk with Christ, walking in the light, are forgiven and they're gone. They're done away with. They're not going to be brought back up any longer. He's not going to hold those to my account. You see, brethren, that's a reason to give thanks and to be thankful. To understand the command, but then understand the lifestyle that that brings about and what that causes in our lives. For us to desire to walk in that light and follow Him. To show that towards all that we come into contact with and even those that we may never come into contact with. I may never, ever meet Donald Trump. Doesn't mean I don't pray for him. I pray for him every day. I may never meet Joe Biden. I prayed for him as well. You see, I think about those people that we pray for. There are people that, in these cards back here, that perhaps there's some of them that we may never lay eyes on, never have a conversation with. But in a prayer and in a card, we can have that type of impact on their life. That they can be thankful to God, that God had washed away their sins, that He has allowed them to be complete and whole in Him. You see, that's the type of impact that we know God has had on our lives. And we should live it every day and demonstrate that thanksgiving and help others to do the same. You know the impact that God has had on your life. And this morning I would ask you to think on that impact that He has had on your life. I would ask you to think about what it is to walk in that light and to have the blood of Jesus wash away your sins and continue to wash away your sins. Think about what it is to have that peace of mind, knowing that when this life is over, because we have been faithful to Him, that we have confess those faults when we have sinned and gone against His will, that we've repented of it and committed those no longer, that we've been able to walk in that light. Think about your life and how much it has changed because of what God has done for you. And give thanks. And then help others to do the same. Perhaps this morning you're here, you're not yet a child of God, and there's something that you need to do, that you need to have faith that is your own from hearing His word, causing you to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Be willing to repent of your sin, confess His name, and be buried with Him in baptism, where, as we discussed in our Bible class this morning, that working of God to take away your sin affects you. And He washes away that sin. You rise to walk in newness of life, understanding your job now is to be faithful unto death. You see, that's what could be yours and a reason to give thanks to God. Perhaps this morning, as a child of God, your life has not been lived in regard to God's will, and you've been walking in darkness rather than light. It's time to stop. And it's time to get back to doing what you know to be right and take advantage of the blessings that He bestows upon us every day and give thanks. Be thankful for those opportunities and don't let them pass you by. This morning, if we can help you in any way, we'd ask you to come now as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.